tense, and I wish I could see her face. Though it was meant to annoy her, the word baby feels so nice when attached to her. Do you really want me to go? You know what happens when I sleep without you. I hope that my vulnerability will touch something in her. She sighs dramatically, and I hold my breath. I don't want to leave. I don't want her to want me to.
Fine. You can stay, but I'm going back to sleep.
She doesn't turn around. I wonder how hard she would slap me if I were to lie down behind her or grab her shoulder and turn her to face me. I don't mind her sleeping, but I would rather be able to enjoy her company. I had half of a plan when I showed up here, and now that's completely out of the question. She's already annoyed. She'll be beyond talking to if I drop this shit on her right now.
Why?
You don't want to hang out with me? I ask her. Once again, she tells me that I'm mean and drunk. I tell her I'm neither, and that she's just acting like a child.
That's sort of mean to say to someone, especially when all I did was ask you about your job, she says.
My head spins. She doesn't stop going in circles.
Oh, God, not this again. Come on, Tessa, just drop it. I don't want to talk about that right now.
It dawns on me that if I just come clean, the majority of our problems would go away. The problem is, she would go with them.
Why did you drink tonight?
Tessa questions me. It seemed like a good idea. I was tense and miserable, and when I tried to come up with a clear thought, I failed. Liquor on my breath makes my confessions less important, less offensive. I can utter drunk ramblings, and if she's appalled, I can deny the words tomorrow. Fuck. I can't stop lying.
I don't know. I just felt like having a drink. Well, drinks. Can you please stop being mad at me?
I love you. I do love her, and I need to be close to her. I hate when she's mad at me, but in a sick way, the fact that she worries about me gives me comfort. Her anger is softening with every second that passes.
I'm not mad at you. I just don't want to backtrack in our relationship. I don't like when you turn on me for no reason, then just leave. If you're mad about something, I want you to talk to me about it.
What is this, Dr. Phil? It takes me a moment to realize she's talking to me as if we have a standard dating arrangement, which we are the furthest thing from. She's rambling on about communication, when all she does is roll over on the bed and give me the silent treatment. I've been busting my ass for this girl, and she still isn't pleased. I'm trying to be reasonable, to not let my anger flare, but it's so hard with someone like Tessa, who pulls every trigger I have.
You just don't like not having control over everything, I fire back.
I still can't believe she's trying to give me advice on how to handle shit. As if she knows everything, the way she thinks she does.
Excuse me?
Her voice cracks. She leans up, resting her elbows on her knees. I tell her she's a control freak. She denies it. She asks me if I have anything else to insult her with, and I ask her to move in with me. She looks as stunned as I thought she would. I'm right with her, surprised that my mouth chose this exact moment to bring this subject up. She studies my face intently, as if she's memorizing what I tell her about the place. She's excited, I can tell. But she's also unsure, and not good at hiding it. I'll show her that she has nothing to be afraid of. I can continue to be better for her and make her happy. I know that I can. The energy between us has shifted drastically, and she's biting into her bottom lip and teasing me, and I can't wait to move in with her. The hurricane of truths is floating above us, swirling and building, ready to rain down any minute. I pretend we're in a novel, and that she'll forgive me as Elizabeth forgave Darcy. If we were words on a page, she would find herself in my arms again, no matter the depth of my mistake, just like Catherine. She would crave the adventure that I bring to her life, and find it impossible to stay away, just like Daisy. The disaster can't touch us if we're safe in our own world, our own apartment, our own novel. This place will be a fortress,
not a prison, I silently promise her. The words die on my tongue, and I turn to her again. She's staring, glossy eyes full of controlled excitement.
So you'll move in with me?
Say yes, Tess. Please say yes. She rolls her shoulders, and a hint of a pink bra strap shows. I was under the impression she only owned white and black cotton lingerie. I keep my eyes on her shoulder, waiting for another peek.
Jesus, let's take this one step at a time. I'll stop being mad at you for now, she says,
doing her version of compromising.
Now come to bed with me.
She lies down on the bed and pats a spot for me. Suddenly, I'm a yappy little dog whose owner let them into the bed. I unbutton my jeans, pull them down my legs, and toss them on top of a stack of textbooks near Steph's bed. I look at Tessa, and she's focused on my shirt, silently suggesting that I take it off. The thin cotton t-shirt she has on is sexy enough, but there's nothing like her wearing my shirts. I absolutely love when she wears them to bed. When I take it off and lay it in front of her, her face breaks into a beautiful smile, and she lifts up her own shirt. Her smooth skin is so sexy, the way her stomach curves into soft breasts. My eyes nearly pop from my head onto the floor at the sight of her lacy ensemble. I'm used to a soft cotton, no-form bra holding her tits up, not a structured push-up bra with lace lining the fabric.
Fuck, I can't help but say. What are you wearing?
This girl is so goddamn sexy and doesn't even have a fucking clue. Her cheeks are a wild, deep red. Her voice isn't much over a whisper.
I got some new underwear today.
She's embarrassed, even though she looks like a goddess, with her long blonde hair, her smooth legs, and her pouty lips just begging for my cock to push through them. I immediately wonder what else she got today, and how hard it would be to convince her to try it all on for me in a private little show. I've never been this turned on by a woman in my entire life. She's so fucking sexual without even trying to be, and she has no idea how many women would kill to be her, to have her sexy, curvy body. I see that. Fuck. Tessa shakes her head.
You already said that.
She loves hearing it, though. Tessa blooms under my compliments, and it's highly, highly satisfying. It amazes me every day that she doesn't see herself for who she is. I repeat how beautiful she looks, and she smiles more. I can't possibly look away from her tits, pushing up toward her, and I can't possibly stop my cock from pulsing under my boxers. Tessa's eyes are focused there, on my swollen cock straining against the black cotton of my boxer briefs. Tessa's eyes are hungry as she flicks her tongue over her top lip, gently sinking her teeth into it. She says something to me, but I couldn't repeat it if my life depended on it. I agree with whatever it is that she's saying. I can't think of anything else except the way her body calls to me. It's like she was made for me. Using my knee, I support my body weight over hers and press my mouth against her full, wet lips. Her tongue is velvet and scotch, soft and sharp as it swipes over mine, cutting through me and healing me at once. This is a dangerous game I'm playing. I'm walking along the most fragile line, but I've developed a talent for balancing. If she moves in with me, she'll see how ready I am to be better for her. She'll see that one mistake counts for very little compared to how much I love her, compared to what I can become for her. Her mouth is hungry on mine. She's an expert at this. Her tongue moves with mine, and with every sound of hers I swallow, I become more infatuated. I push my hand through her soft hair, desperately trying to get closer to her somehow. I press my body against her, needing some friction on my cock before I combust. The relief rushing through my body when I rub against her is frightening to me. She controls my mind and my body, and I don't know what she'll do with them. I lean up on my elbow, taking in her beauty. Her mouth is dark pink now, and inside my mind I'm running through an entire book of things I crave to do to her.
My other hand traces the soft pink lace across her chest. The thin fabric is barely holding her in. Patiently, and ever so gently, I trace my fingers over the cup, under the strap, and I push my fingers inside the fabric and feel the hard pebbles of her nipples. She's fucking heaven. I can't decide if I want this to stay on. I could spend every hour of every day with her lying here, waiting for my touch. I apply a pinch of pressure to her nipples, and she moans in surprise. I want her breasts bare in my hands. Off it goes, I groan. I'm horny and impatient, and when she arches her back as I unclasp the small hooks, I nearly come in my boxers. I palm her fleshy tits, pushing them up and then down just to watch the perfect way they move. Her tits are perfect. She's my living fetish. What do you want to do, Tess? I want to do every fucking thing with her. I want to do things I've never done and experience things from my past in a new way.
I already told you before,
she whines, pushing her chest against my hand. Such a horny little freak she is. Are we ready? Is she ready? I think she's ready. She's panting, and I can see the crotch of her panties glistening under the light of the lamp. I run my hand down her stomach and to the hem of her lacy panties. I try to control myself, but she moans and I need to hear more of my favorite sounds. Fuck me. She's got me wrapped around her finger. My fingers move to her pussy, and I tap gently over the swollen mound, feeling how much she soaked her panties. A sweet scent fills the air, and I want to taste her. I push my fingers into her, pumping into her to the knuckle. She cries out, and her sounds seep into me as she wraps her arms around me to steady her jerking body. She's tight around my two fingers, and she gasps each time they enter her pussy. Tessa's hands are frantic as she finds my thickness, palming and squeezing and stroking me through my boxers. You're sure? I ask her. I need her to be absolutely positive about this. I need this to be as perfect for her as it will be for me. It takes a breath for Tessa to realize that I'm speaking to her. Her mouth is open, eyes wide.
Yes, I'm sure. Stop overthinking it.
I lean my head down and chuckle against her neck. The irony of this is killing me. She's the one usually overthinking everything, but I'm the one who is now. I'm so close to finally having her, and it's tainted by the stupid bet. The guilt I've been holding on to since I grew to love her is flowing through me. I'm battling within myself, the good boy who loves the good girl, and the bad boy who's too broken to love anyone, are fighting with swords. Each one wants something different from the princess. The boy in black gets knocked to the ground.
I love you. You know that, don't you?
I say into her mouth. Can she taste my panic? If she can, she doesn't show it.
Yes.
She kisses me, slowly and softly.
I love you, Harden.
Tessa's legs are gently kicking out as if her body can barely handle the pressure of my fingers sinking in and out of her tightness. She's a whimpering mess for me as images flicker through my mind of her body writhing beneath mine while I break her skin and claim her body. Not until she makes the first move. I set up a boundary to keep. My mouth moves to her neck to claim her in a different way. I suck at the soft skin there, feeling the heat of blood rushing beneath the surface. She's mine.
Harden, I'm...
She whimpers when I leave her empty. She's so ripe, so ready to be fucking devoured. Suddenly I'm a starving man. I need my mouth on her. I scoop back on the bed and pull off her panties and spread her thighs. The smell is so sweet, so intoxicating. I've never experienced anything close to this hunger roaring inside of me. My lips peck a tender trail down her stomach. She's soaked. I can't help but blow on it and delight in the way she moans, lifting her ass off the bed. I dive in. Her taste fills my senses as my tongue swipes wide licks up and down her. With each moan, my tongue licks harder, more precisely, and she fists her white sheets to keep from screaming.
Tell me how good it feels, I say, making sure to blow a breath against her with each word.
She chokes out.
So...
I suck at her and lick her into a shaking, whimpering state. I want to give her all the encouragement she needs.
That's it, baby. Come for me. I need to feel it on my tongue.
She obeys. I'm high with her as she orgasms for me. I'm no longer drunk with liquor. Now I'm drunk with power. I climb up her body, my cock probing at her stomach, and kiss her. She snaps out of her sated state and kisses me hard. She's already ready for more. I'm impressed.
Are you?
I ask her, to be sure.
She nods frantically, lifting her lips to mine. Shh. Yes, I'm sure.
Tess begs. The sharp ends of her fingernails dig into my back as she takes my mouth again. Her lips suck at mine. Her tongue pushes through my lips, and I'm high again. Her hands push my briefs down my ass and legs, and the sensation of being bare and so fucking hard against her skin has me manic. I need to be inside of her. I have to make her body mine. This is going to change everything. Neither of us will ever be the same again. She will no longer be an innocent girl. She will be a woman with a sex life. She will have to check the sexually active box at the doctor's office. She will get married one day and have to tell the guy that she fucked me. Any talk of her past sexual experiences will be filled with me. I feel immense guilt, but extreme satisfaction. It's a liberating but frightening experience.
Tessa, I
have to tell her. My body is ripping itself into two pieces.
Shh,
she whispers. She has no idea what she's saying. I feel the weight of my body on hers. Such a perfect fit. I look over her face, trying to save this moment forever.
But, Tessa, I need to tell you something.
Shh, Harden, please stop talking.
She's begging me now. Her eyes are full of love and excitement. My life is changing, and right now, I'm going to change everything. She takes control before I can get a word out and presses her lips to mine. Her hand wraps around my hard cock, and she jerks me, tempting and hushing me. I inhale a sharp breath when her thumb swipes over the bead of pre-cum on the tip.
I'm going to come if you do that again,
I whine. I want to feel her delicate fingertips tracing over the head of my cock, teasing me, making me beg for more. More than anything, I need to bury myself inside of her, now. I assume she doesn't have any condoms, and only feel slight shame that I always carry one out of habit. I have few rules when it comes to sex, but using a condom is a complete must for me. Tessa is watching me from the bed as I gather my jeans off the floor and dig through the pockets. I feel like a pervert, carrying a condom around in my wallet in anticipation of fucking. One look into Tessa's eager eyes banishes that thought, and I climb back onto the bed, condom in hand. I wait a second for her to take the condom from my hand, but she doesn't. No shit, Sherlock. She's probably never seen one outside of sex ed.
Ah.
I don't know how to ask her if she wants to try to put it on me. Some women like to, some don't. She raises her voice.
If you ask if I am sure, I will kill you.
I believe her. So I decide to go with option two, which is to cherish this moment while I have her. I shake my head and wave the condom in front of her.
I was going to say, are you going to help me put this on, or should I do it?
I would be quicker, I'm sure. Tessa looks nervous as she chews on her lip. My cock is aching for her. I'm tempted to just fuck her without a condom. I have to remind myself that that's a stupid fucking idea.
Oh, I want to, but you have to show me how.
She's so shy and so damn sexy. Her tits so heavy and round are distracting me. I need to speed up this process.
Okay, I agree.
Tessa scoots closer to me and crosses her legs. I'm happy to show her, but I'm only halfway in reality. Mostly, I'm already on top of her, pushing into her. She's moaning and clawing at my back and my arms. She's begging for more. She's coming, and I'm claiming her.
That wasn't so bad for a virgin and a drunk.
Tessa teases when the deed is done and the condom is on. I remind her that I'm not drunk, and explain that her sassy mouth has caused me to sober up.
Now what?
She asks, genuinely wondering. I guide her hand to grasp my cock.
Eager?
I ask her. She nods her head.
Me too,
I say. I am eager. I've never wanted anything more. She's still jerking me. My hardness is wrapped in her palm. I move between her legs and part them with my knee. Once again, her pussy is glistening for me.
You're soaking wet, so that will make it easier.
I can smell her again. She's so responsive, and it drives me fucking mad. I kiss her mouth, dotting my lips against the corners of her soft lips, her nose, her mouth again. Tessa's arms wrap around me, and I inhale as she presses me closer. I brush against her wetness and nearly explode. She's impatient, pulling me closer. I warn her,
"Slow, baby. We need to go slow."
I kiss her temple. I don't want to hurt her. I wouldn't if I didn't have to.
"It's going to hurt at first, so just tell me if you want me to stop. I mean it, okay?"
I stare down at her. Her pupils are blown out, her cheeks flared, and her hair a wild mess across the pillow.
"Okay."
She swallows nervously. I stare at her, silently reminding her how much I love her, need her, cherish her. With a deep breath, I find her opening and push gently inside. Her tightness clings to every inch that I push through, and I stop when her eyes screw shut.
"You okay?"
I ask, breathless. She's nodding, her lips in a hard line. She's so warm, so tight for me.
"Fuck,"
I moan when she groans, tightening again.
"Can I move?"
Fuck, I need to move. I knew she would feel like heaven, but I had no idea how fucking extravagant heaven would be. She takes a few breaths before answering.
"Yeah,"
she agrees. I go slow, not wanting to hurt her. I can feel her easing up her grip on my arms with each kiss I give her. Her neck, her pretty mouth, her nose. I love every inch of her body. Every inch of my body. I repeat to her how much I love her as I slowly draw in and out of her. Her eyes are still closed, but she's not showing any unusual signs of discomfort. When 20 seconds pass and she hasn't responded, I stop.
Do you want me to stop?
She shakes her head and I close my eyes again. I can picture every inch of her under me, her smooth skin, her body molding to mine. She's mine now and forever, even after we leave this bed. I maintain my pace, and she keeps her arms wrapped around me. I can feel my heart in my chest, pumping and coming alive as I climb closer to the edge. I've never felt anything during sex. I feel alive and brilliant, and when I look down at my love, she's looking back at me with radiant admiration, and I know now that somehow, everything will be okay. Tessa's strength surprises me again, as a silent tear rolls down her cheek. I kiss it away and give her the praise she deserves.
"Fuck, Tess. You're doing so good, baby. I love you so much."
I push my fingers into her hair and suck at the sweat-coated skin of her neck.
"I love you, Harden,"
Tessa declares. That's all it takes, and I'm there. I kiss at her mouth, licking at her lips and tongue with a feverish hunger.
"Oh, baby, I'm going to come, okay?"
My spine is on fire. Her skin is shining with sweat. We are wild. Tessa nods, encouraging me to spill into her. In this moment, I have a hatred for the barrier between us. I want to fill her. I want to make her mine in every way. Her lips suck at my neck and I tense, my body giving in to the pleasure, and I spit her name through clenched teeth as I reach my climax. I lie on her chest, catching my breath, and she lazily caresses my skin. Everything has changed now. I've changed everything between us. I comfort her and ignore the pushing and pushing of the truth, which is threatening to burn me alive. As I comfort her, I pray to whoever is listening that my world doesn't turn to ashes. Chapter 22. Everything began to unravel for him, and the flimsy little house of cards he built was becoming shakier and shakier with each passing day. At each mention of his lies, he would panic, scrambling to come up with a plan. He was convinced he had been cursed as a child. There was no other explanation for the suffering he had been dealt. He was beginning to question whether Tessa was his saving grace or his biggest curse. He had her, every part of her, yet she was slipping away with every passing second. Tessa is at her internship when I go by her room a few days later. Molly has been telling me Steph is going off the deep end. She's dropping hints that Steph may be losing her fucking mind, and I need to talk to her before she does. When I get to the room, Steph is lying across the bed, her red hair a thick mess. Chunks of curls are stuck with pins on her head. Her makeup is dark. Smoky grey shadows her lids, making her look like a haunted version of a valley girl. Her skin is white, and her lips are a dark red.
"She's not here,"
Steph announces, and shuts the screen on Tessa's laptop. What's that doing here?
"I'm only watching movies. Relax, psycho."
I grab the laptop from her bed and slip it under my arm. "I know she isn't. I wanted to talk to you," I tell her. She raises herself up on her elbow, and her boobs push against her tight dress, revealing more than an eyeful.
"Talk to me about what?"
Her eyes are cold as she waits for my answer. I've always known something is loose inside her mind, but I can never tell just how dangerous it is. Everyone has a screw or two loose, but in Steph's case, it feels like something more sometimes. I used to think she was a cool girl, but she ended up more like the red-headed version of Amy Dunn's crazy ass. "You know what?" I sit down on Tessa's bed and turn my body to face Steph.
"Molly called you,"
she answers, connecting the dots.
"She's becoming such an annoying little cunt, isn't she?"
Steph rolls her head back and sits up.
"I'm not going to say anything to Tessa. I know that the only reason you're here is to beg me not to say shit to her. I'm not going to."
"And I'm supposed to believe that?" I question her, and she rolls her tongue against her teeth.
"Believe me or not, I got my fun from it. I'm bored with it now, and I'm starting to feel a little bad for her."
To be honest, this completely surprises me.
"You are?"
I scoot to the edge of Tessa's mattress and rest my elbows on my knees. She begins to laugh, a feral, high-pitched laugh, and I sigh. I should have known.
"No, of course not. I am bored with it, though."
I watch as she tugs at her dress to show me more of her chest. I look away. This is for Tessa. I need to not make a scene.
"You're almost done with her by now anyway, I'm sure."
"Almost done with her? Has she lost her fucking mind?"
"Aren't you? You fucked her. Now you're done with her. That's how it goes with you."
The weirdest thing about this is that Steph isn't giving me shit. She's just making a statement. Given my history, her assessment would be accurate. Except I've spent much longer working on Tessa than I did on any of the others. Tessa made me fight for her because she was fucking worth it. Too bad I ruined everything.
"No,"
I clear my throat. "I'm not done with her." Steph's eyes roll and she licks her lips.
I knew you weren't. How many times have you fucked her now? Is she actually still tight? I mean, with the way you ruin things.
My eyes must be ready to pop out of my head when she looks at me, because she moves farther away from me.
Is she? Steph repeats. I'm sure she's nice and used up for you. Now you can move on and she can go away. I see her enough as it is.
You really don't like her?
I rub the back of my neck. Tessa thinks Steph is her friend, and I don't want to get in the middle of that unless I have to. If Steph ever tries to pull anything on Tessa, though, I would take care of it.
No, I don't really like her. Let's move on. Just dump her and go back to getting BJs from Molly every other day.
I'm going to still be seeing Tessa.
I don't know how to say this to her. I don't want her to have more power over me than she does. But I also don't want her to be under the impression that Tessa isn't a permanent fixture in my life. She isn't a permanent fixture, but I'm still praying to find a way for this to work. But that's not Steph's business. Fuck, this is a mess. A huge fucking mess.
Why did you come here, Harden? I know it wasn't just to check on my big mouth.
She licks her lips again and pushes her elbows against the sides of her chest in the least subtle way possible. My temper flares momentarily, and I stand to my feet.
You've lost your fucking mind if you think I would touch you!
Tessa's nothing special. I don't know why you and Zed are both so fucking obsessed with her.
Zed is not relevant in this conversation.
My hands are shaking, and I can see that Steph's growing more and more pleased with herself, and the reaction her mention of Zed is getting out of me.
Don't let her get to you, Harden.
She's antagonizing me purposely, and I'm letting her. What is that thing my gran used to say?
Shit, I don't remember.
Zed is a pretty relevant.
Enough!
I press my hands together and bring them to my face. I pinch the bridge of my nose and breathe in, breathe out. I came here to talk to her about Molly's worries, to make sure that Tessa wouldn't be torn from me by any crazy or vicious action on Steph's part. But now I'm here, and Steph is being an exceptionally terrible human being. And honestly, I just feel like being a dick. Steph acting like queen of the assholes makes me feel like I'm not any different than I was before Tessa. I thought I was better than her and the others somehow, but here I am. I'm going to be sitting right next to her in hell. I can't help but push her. I thrive on making her feel as shitty as I do. I look at Steph and put my biggest grin on my face.
Maybe you should worry about your own boyfriend and the way he always stares at Molly.
I've seen them alone a few times. I say some other things about them. I don't even know what, really. And by the time I finish my lie, her eyes are watering, shining red in my triumph.
You're lying.
She's trying to hold in her tears.
Gotcha. Nope. Too bad for you,
I tell her. I put Tessa's laptop in the top drawer of her dresser. I need to get her out of this dorm, and soon. Before Steph can get another word in, I leave the room. When I get into my car and common sense starts kicking in, I realize that I made another dumb fucking move. Steph isn't like most girls. She won't sit on her anger and wait for the right moment to strike. She's irrational, and I can see her spilling every detail of the bet to Tessa, exaggerations included. I should just tell her. I should just tell Tessa every disgusting truth before she finds out. This is eating me alive. I climb back out of the car and walk back to the dorm room to try another route with Steph. But I hear Tessa's voice as soon as I reach the door.
Fuck!
I lean against it, listening to the girl's conversation.
I don't think Tristan would go for her. I see the way he looks at you. He really cares about you. I think you should call him and talk it out,
I hear Tessa say. I press my ear harder against the door and hope that no one walks by.
What if he's with her?
Steph asks.
She actually believed that shit. He's not.
Tessa comforts her roommate.
How do you know? Sometimes you think you know people, but you don't.
Steph begins. Fuck this. Steph's going to tell her. She's going to tell her right fucking now.
Har.
I open the door. Hey! I say when I step into the room. They seem to be bonding. An outsider would be fooled. Should I come back?
No. I'm going to go find Tristan and try to apologize.
Steph stands up.
Thank you, Tessa.
She hugs Tessa and stares at me, letting me know that she's not done here. Distraction. I need a distraction.
You hungry?
I ask Tess as Steph gets ready to leave.
Yeah, actually I am,
she says, rubbing her hand over her stomach. She's distracted now and doesn't seem to notice the awkward hate stare Steph is firing at me. Chapter 23. His paranoia took hold of him, dragging him further and further away from her. He tried to grasp on to the tiny sliver of hope that he could have the life he wanted to have with her. He tried to come up with plan after plan to save the only good thing that had ever happened to him. He begged his enemies, pleaded with his friends, for their silence. None of his plans would work. None of them could hide what he did to her, and he knew it was all going to blow up in his face. I take Tessa to the mall, where my shitty luck continues, as we sit in the food court before deciding which stores to go to. Paranoia seems to be haunting me, stalking me wherever I go. I can't stop thinking about everything Steph could have told her. Does she know everything I've been hiding from her? Will she finally see me as I am, not worthy of her? I pick at my meal, lost in my head, while Tessa eats slowly, watching me the entire time. What is she looking for? Signs of my lies coming to the surface.
We can find your outfit first, I guess, I say.
I still can't believe I agreed to go to the wedding. It's going to be so fucking awkward for me. My only plan at this point is to focus on Tessa and not remember a damn thing that happened earlier than 3 months ago. Well, you have the luxury of looking beautiful regardless of what you wear. Her cheeks light up at my flattery.
That's not true. You're the one who definitely pulls off that "I don't give a crap how I look, but I look flawless" look.
She's laughing, and my chest aches a little less at the sight.
I do, don't I?
I smile at her, but she carries that look off too. Much more than I do, and she doesn't even try. Tessa's phone vibrates on the table. She's acting pretty normal for someone who knows they're being toyed with this way. Maybe she's acting normal on purpose to distract me until she can play me and get her revenge. Or maybe she really doesn't know.
It's Landon,
she says as I read his name on the screen. My chest stops pounding out of control. She answers the phone and I watch her mouth as she speaks. She sucks on her lower lip for a few seconds and looks me up and down. I have to come up with a way to prevent her from ever being alone with Steph. I need to keep her closer from now on. I've been too casual about this whole thing. I should have her by my side at all times.
Okay, well, I'll do my best to get him a tie,
she says into the phone, and it's obvious who she means by him. She presses her hand to her cheek and rests her elbow on the table. She looks adorably pushy, but a tie, good luck with that. Tessa starts saying something else to Landon, but my attention goes to the middle of the food court, where Zed, Jace, and Logan are standing. They're all dressed in different ways, each trying to make a statement about who they are by means of their wardrobe. Logan is the preppy, kind of punk kid with a baby face, and is less badass than the other two. Zed, the tall and dark one, looks like he's modeling leather, even though he's in a middle-class mall. He looks out of place. Jace looks like the delinquent, the one all the teenage girls should stay away from.
I'll be right back.
I stand up from the table, leaving my food. Thank God she's on the phone, so she won't follow. Not immediately. Logan's rubbing a small tube of chapstick over his lips when I reach them. Jace is looking awfully fucking smug, and Zed's looking pretty stressed out.
Nice to see you, too, Logan says, and taps his foot against the linoleum, while Jace laughs a breathy, stonery laugh.
The three of them have dilated pupils and thin red veins mapping their eyes. They smell of pot and stale cigarettes. If Zed and Tessa kissed, would she like the taste of tobacco on his tongue?
What are you guys doing here? I ask,
checking on Tessa out of the corner of my eye.
Where? At the public mall? Jace asks.
I take a breath, silently threatening him. If he fucks this up today, I'll have no problem hurting him.
We were just in the area, Logan explains.
He shrugs his shoulders and looks at me with some sort of understanding. He knows what I'm worried about, and somehow he's telling me that's not why they're here.
Really?
He pushes this, and I slightly relax.
Where's your little pet?
Jace flicks his tongue out in a disgusted way. Zed cringes, and Logan ignores all of us and stares at the cracked screen of his iPhone.
Oh, she's over there!
Jace's voice rises, and I nearly jump him. He's the nastiest type of guy, much like my old friend Mark, who played with people like toys and had no remorse about his shitty actions. I guess I'm the same way, though, I think, regarding the bet. And at the end of the game the group of us played, I was the one who held the winning piece.
Cut the shit,
I say, stepping forward, and Jace smiles a wicked smile. He loves how agitated he can make me. He's pressing buttons on me as we speak. He knows it. I know it. And soon Tessa will know it too.
She's coming over here.
Logan is still staring at his phone, but he's warning us of Tessa's arrival. My palms are soaking, and the skin on my knuckles is straining each time my nails dig into my palm. They're going to ruin my life right now, here in this mall in some shitty town in America.
Hey, Tessa, how are you?
Zed moves toward Tessa, and I take a step forward. He wraps his arms around her, and I could easily rip them from his body at the sight.
Harden, aren't you going to introduce your friend?
Jace stares at me, humor dancing in his bloodshot eyes.
Yeah.
I wave my hand between the two of them, counting the seconds we've been letting this drag on.
This is my friend, Tessa.
Tessa, this is Jace. Tessa's brows bunch together in anger, and I look around, confused. Why is she mad? I study her face and wait for her to look at me. She doesn't.
Do you go to WCU?
She asks Jace. Why does she always have to make polite small talk with people? It's obvious that she hasn't had a lot of social experience. She seems to have zero sense of etiquette.
Hell no! I don't do the college thing,
he laughs, and Tessa relaxes a bit.
But if all the girls there look like you, I would be happy to reconsider.
Tessa looks a little frightened, and I'm mentally counting the shades of blue I can turn Jace's face via strangulation.
We're going to the docks tonight. You two should make an appearance, Zed says.
An appearance? Fuck you, Zed.
We can't.
Maybe next time, I say, ending the conversation.
Why not?
Jace asks, clearly challenging me in front of Tessa and Zed.
Tessa has work tomorrow. I suppose I can drop by later, alone.
I make it clear to all of them. They won't be in the place ever again. It's going to be hard, but I'm foolish enough to think I can possibly pull this off. I won the bet. She's mine, and Zed can fucking rot for all I care.
That's too bad.
Jay smiles at Tessa, and I struggle to keep my shit together. He's taunting me. He's dangling this devil's game I agreed to play over my head like I'm a little rat, and he's got a nice piece of cheese for me.
Yeah, I'll hit you up later when I'm on my way,
I lie to him. I have to think of what the fuck I'm going to do about him. He's itching to find a time to tell Tessa about the bet. He's a fucker like that. But I know if I bring it up to him, it will only encourage him to open his big mouth or plant the idea of telling if he hadn't thought of it yet on his own. The three of them walk away, and Tessa stares daggers into their backs. I stay silent and follow Tessa's temper tantrum through Macy's. She walks faster in a childish, petulant way to prove a point and throw a fit. "What's wrong?" I ask. Something always seems to be wrong with her. I'm saying something, doing something. Someone's cat looked at her the wrong way. It's always something.
"Oh, I don't know, Harden."
"Me either. You're the one who just hugged Zed," I yell at her. Her arms around Zed is the only thing I can think of right now, and she's starting shit with me.
"Are you embarrassed to be with me or something? I mean, I get it. I'm not exactly the cool girl, but I thought..."
I don't understand what she's getting at here. She thinks I'm embarrassed about being with her. Why does she always go to this? What? No! Of course I'm not embarrassed about you. Are you crazy? She is crazy, though. We both are.
"Why did you introduce me as your friend? You keep talking about living together, and then you tell them we're friends."
Tessa's voice is growing louder with each word.
"What are you going to do? Hide me? I won't be anyone's secret. If I'm not good enough for your friends to know that we're together, then I don't want to live with you."
How can I call her more than a friend? She's going to hate me more than an enemy when my time runs out with her. She's so much more than a secret to me. I'm not trying to hide her. I don't want to keep her hidden any fucking more. I want to show her off proudly and let every motherfucker know that she's mine. Only mine. But I'm too stupid to be able to make things work between us, which is why I have to hide the most beautiful thing, the only treasure, in my entire life. I have to hide her instead of letting her bloom in the sunshine, and it's eating me alive from the inside out.
"Tessa! Damn it!"
I trail off, and she glances toward the dressing room in the women's clothing section of the store.
"I'll follow you,"
I warn her. I mean it too. I'd like to follow her inside that dressing room and fuck her against the full-length mirror. She raises her eyebrows and purses her lips. She knows damn well I will follow her. I'd follow her to the deepest pits of hell if she merely asked me to.
"Take me home. Now,"
she demands of me. Take her home? All because of a stupid fight. Tessa makes her point by walking way ahead of me out of the store and back to my car. Once outside, I try to open the door for her, but she won't have it.
"Are you done throwing a fit?" "A fit? You aren't serious!"
She's gone to shrieking now.
"I don't know why it's such a big deal to you that I called you my friend. That's not what I meant. I was just caught off guard."
A half-truth.
"If you're embarrassed about being seen with me, then I don't want to see you anymore."
Her voice is shaky. She's trying to stop herself from crying. I'm familiar enough with her ways by now to know that she's digging her fingernails into her thighs and her grey eyes are filling with tears. More tears that I caused her to shed.
"Don't say that to me!"
I run my hand over my oily hair, wanting to yank it out piece by piece.
"Tessa, why do you assume I'm embarrassed about you? That's just fucking ridiculous."
I don't have any reason to be embarrassed about her. If anything, it's the other way around. To my friends, she's now a joke. Every fucking moment I've shared with this girl has now been diminished to nothing. I turned everything into nothing, and she's going to find out soon, and there's nothing I can do to stop this freight train from tearing into my life once again. I had just begun to build it up, and now I've gone and fucked everything up.
"Have fun at your party tonight,"
she says with a pout from the passenger seat.
"Please, I'm not going to the docks with them. I just said that so Jace would lay off."
Which is true. I don't want to go to a stupid party. I want to be buried between Tessa's thighs all night.
If you aren't embarrassed of me, then take me to the party.
I should have known she would throw in this one. Everything is always a game to her. Everything. I'm one to fucking talk. Absolutely fucking not, I say. Of course we went to that fucking party, because once again, Teresa Young got her way. As the days go by, I'm more comfortable in my own lie than I care to admit. I pretend that everything isn't slowly crumbling, that tiny pieces of everything that holds us together aren't chipping away with each minute that passes that I don't tell her. I can't tell her. I can't open that can of worms and let them destroy us. The truth will drown us. There's no way around that. It's inevitable. The same way my love for Tessa is inevitable.
Well, welcome home.
I call through the apartment when the real estate agent leaves us alone, finally. I thought he would never fucking leave. Tessa laughs, covering her mouth with the back of her hand, and steps toward me. I wrap my arms around her, thanking whoever gave her to me for letting her stay a little while longer before she's ripped from my life. I deserve a shred of happiness while it lasts, don't I?
I can't believe we live here now. It still doesn't seem real.
Her wild eyes are curious, excited and alive in a way they haven't been since I met her. I've given her freedom in such a large gesture. I've given her a beautiful apartment where she can be herself, the version of her that no one can judge or demand things from. Her mum isn't here to tell her to brush her hair, and Steph isn't here to think of manipulative ways to hurt us. If someone had told me I would be dating you, let alone living with you, 2 months ago, I'd have either laughed in their face or punched them. Either one. I laugh and bring her face between my hands. She's so warm, her cheeks alight with excitement.
Well, aren't you sweet?
She rests her hands on my hips and leans into me. Her head is heavy on my chest, my anchor. My life is perfect for the first time since I can remember. I'm completely ignoring the catastrophe that's coming my way, but for now my life is perfect.
It's a relief, though, to have our own space. No more parties, no more roommates and community showers,
Tessa adds. My chest pounds against her cheek, and I wonder if she can sense my growing paranoia. Our own bed. I mask the feeling with humor. We'll need to get a few things, dishes and such. The more things she has here, the harder it will be when it's time to leave. Fuck. I'm trapped in this lie and tying the ropes around her as we speak. This beautiful girl will never forgive me. She won't. I'll think about it later. I'll figure something out. She brings her hand to my forehead and lightly applies pressure.
Are you feeling okay? She grins. You're being awfully cooperative today.
Her sarcastic humor makes me care for her even more. I bring her hand to my lips, peppering the back of it with kisses.
I just want to make sure you're pleased with everything here. I want you to feel at home, with me.
And I do. I've never felt like I had a home until Tessa signed along those dotted lines to move in with me. Waking up to her annoying alarm clock every day has grown into something I need, something I was missing and didn't know it.
And what about you? Do you feel at home here?
Her voice is full of hope. It's tenuous hope, though. She's waiting and expecting me to deliver a ruthless opinion about our living situation. I can see it in her eyes. She's hopeful, but she expects the worst from me, because that's what she always gets. Surprisingly enough, yes. I answer her honestly, while trying to make my voice sound as convincing as possible. I really do love it here, with her.
We should go get my stuff, she suggests,
then tells me about the books and clothing I've already taken care of.
Already done,
I smile. She tilts her head in confusion.
What?
I brought all of your belongings from your room. They're in your trunk. I just couldn't wait. I wanted her to see the place and never leave. I need her to never leave here, so I needed to make her as comfortable as I could.
How did you know I'd sign the lease? What if I hated the apartment?
She turns her cheeks up at me, curiosity and a challenge filling them.
Because if you hadn't liked this one, I'd have found one that you did like, I tell her.
She nods, acknowledging that I'm completely serious.
Okay. Well, what about your stuff?
She asks me.
We can get it tomorrow. I have clothes in my trunk.
What is with that anyway?
I don't know, really. I guess you just never know when you'll need clothes. She's nosy, so nosy. I keep clothes in the trunk of my car for many reasons. Most of them she surely wouldn't like to know.
Let's go to the store and get all the shit we need for the kitchen and some food, I suggest.
Tessa turns to me when we step into the lobby.
Okay, can I drive your car again?
I don't know, I tease her. But of course she can drive it.
Part 3. After. He was finally becoming the man he'd never known he could be. His rage was channeled into his writing, and he was becoming proud of the person he was. She was the only reason his life turned out this way, and he would fall at her knees and thank her every second if he could. She stayed by him until it was no longer good for either of them, and then she gave him time to sort his life out on his own. She supported his choices month in and month out, and never failed to make him strive for more. During that time, each month he was sober. He would get a card in the mail, the old-fashioned way, with her name and a heart. He knew her well enough to be sure that the 2 years they spent apart weren't easy for her. It was hell for her, eternal purgatory for him. When the handwritten words from his binder became lines on a printed page, she didn't call for a week. He knew she read the book, and he was sure she spent the entire week pacing around the small apartment she shared with his brother. He had moved into a new place by then, adjusting to a windy city with tall buildings and an overabundance of hot dogs and baseball. It didn't feel like home there, though she visited him more times than he deserved. His days went on like this, working, waiting for her to call or email, planning for the next time he'd be able to see her. As he became more and more worthy of her, he started to like the man he saw in the mirror each morning. When that week was over, and she finally did call, her voice cracked on her first word, and he couldn't find the right thing to tell her. He wanted her to understand that no two people were more right for one another. She congratulated him on his book, but with a cool distance. He grew tired, wondering if this would be his life, alone in a high-rise apartment, eating takeout while watching reruns of Friends. Weeks later, he couldn't stop his heart from racing when she called to tell him about her visit to his city, how there was a wedding she needed a date for. She danced with him the entire night and lay beneath him in his bed for 3 days. Until she left, taking his heart with her. He visited her next, in chaotic New York City, and was impressed with her new life. But he missed his place in it. She had a good thing going there, friends and family. He had an imaginary life with her,